You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Well, that was sad.
Okay. Now we laugh through the pain.
Oh, that's what we do best, baby.
That's why we're here. That's why the Cooligans was invented. This is your comic relief, your therapy.
The closest I felt like this is when driving back from the game against Trinidad and Tobago a little over 4 years ago.
Okay.
Where I thought, I think Cooligans might be done, dude, if there's no men's national team in the World Cup. But 4 years later, now that we are removed from losing to Holland, losing to the Netherlands, I think we did pretty well in this World Cup.
Okay, and we'll go through all of it, man. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it's gonna we'll be a get lot to the Argentina game a little later, we'll but for now.
Yes, so look, as always.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros. We're the Cooligans.
We're here to, cheer you up a little bit, okay?
Bro, you know what happened? You're like a little kid. You got made fun of at school. You came home. You're crying. You know what I'm going to do? Tickle Monster, okay? We're going to get some giggles out of here.
We're the Tickle Monsters, okay? That's what we're here for. That was actually the original name of the show that we were going to go with.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, Cooligans has a better ring.
Dribble Monsters, Tickle Monsters.
Let's do it, Tickle Monsters. And look, we got to go right to this photo. This came up on the broadcast.
Who is this man? Because he is all of us.
We got to find this man, and we have to have a drink with him, because when we gave up that third goal, the camera panned to him.
For those of you who don't know, it's a gentleman with a sad scowl on the bottom of his face, and that's all we can see because he has covered his eyes with his bucket hat.
Yeah,
and he is looking down, and you know what? That's all of us right now, bro.
Bro, I know how you feel, dog.
Bro, I thought we were, and we didn't.
We didn't go full eagle,
bro.
We should have went full eagle,
bro. All I know is Netherlands. Yo, they came to play in that first half, bro. But not to play the Netherlands way, which was so confusing, bro.
Yeah, they...
They walk out with 38% possession, bro. We made Netherlands become Italy, bro.
Wow.
That's a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah,
dude. The U.S. men's national team played so well that Netherlands had to completely change the way they play the sport for generations, a style they invented, bro.
Mm.
Total football. They went to total soccer, bro.
they went full soccer. So let's start there. Tactically.
We have started there.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Tactically.
You know what, Christian? Let's talk about tactics. See what I did?
So, So they essentially played us the way we played England.
I don't think so. I disagree. They parked the bus. We didn't park the bus against England. We disrupted the way England plays. Same result, but they legitimately parked the bus. They had eight players behind the ball.
I wouldn't describe it that way. Parking the bus sounds like they had a very boring, dull game. And that wasn't what they did.
No, parking the bus means they sat back and waited a counter, and boy, did they. When they countered, it was intense.
They let us have the ball, and this is what I...
In particular, they let Walker Zimmerman and Tim Ream have the ball. And if I could pick two players on the team, I do not want to have the ball to make key passes, it's those two guys.
And that's the thing. We were so good defensively throughout the World Cup group stage that I thought that this game was just going to be another one of those matches. I thought we were just simply going to 0-0, maybe 1-1, go to extra time.
Oh, you thought?
I did think that. And the best way I could describe it is our defensive players, especially our center backs, had the ball so long and they had to make so many decisions with the ball that it distracted them from maintaining their focus on defending.
I also think they were frustrated with the lack of options. I don't think it was so much that having to now all of a sudden be number 10s, you know, if I'm back there,
yeah,
disrupted their ability to defend. I think they were so frustrated with having to be the ones who made these key passes. And they had to constantly be on, keep their head on a swivel of where people were. And all of a sudden, you put it on them to make these crazy. I mean, think about it. Jesus Ferreira had to come back to them to get the ball. That's your striker. He shouldn't be back there. I'm striker for a half, but he shouldn't be back there. Christian Pulisic had to go back there. Weston McKennie had to go back there.
Yeah.
Yunus Musa had to go back there. Netherlands was like, I'm going to let these two see what they can do. And then I'm gonna cover everybody else. And they were going man-to-man in the midfield.
And it started off pretty well. I mean,
a couple chances
early on. Yeah, Pulisic and what, like, felt like it was like 7th, 8th minute. I think even he thought he was offside. But he had a great chance. He went to kind of going to the bottom right. The keeper just made a great save.
Yeah, so if he scores, it's a completely different game. Because then I think Netherlands can't play that style anymore.
Yeah, so just disappointing, the defensive mistakes. I would say that is the thing that it was the most frustrating, because that isn't the U.S. men's national team we saw throughout the rest of the World Cup.
I agree.
So
let's call it. Go ahead. You were about to
say. I was going
to
say, as always, today's show is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone, we're too depressed to do our job.
Get in the zone. AutoZone. What did you honestly think about, and we'll talk about some of the second half subs, but I want to talk about Jesus Ferreira. Gets his first start.
Mm-hmm.
What did
we think? First minute. The confidence wasn't there. The
decision-making wasn't there also.
Yeah. I mean, he really was fairly absent in the game. He had a couple decent, like, recoveries and getting the, you know, and maintaining the ball, just maintaining possession. But that ball that went, passed out of the air, but he's at the top of the box. He shoot that. A confident striker who's not worried about the moment being too big just takes that shot.
I wouldn't put it on him that it was the moment was too big. I think he was like, oh, someone else will do a better job than I would.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want in a striker. I want a striker that thinks they're the guy. Even Sergiño Dest, when I know Tim Way is open, Sergiño Dest did all the work to get up there. I like the mentality of someone's like, yo, I got us right into this spot. I'm going to take this shot.
Yeah.
You've earned that to some degree.
You sort of feel for Sergiño Dest because he played those first like 15 minutes. You sort of, at least before the goal went in from Memphis Depay, you got the sense like he was like, yo, this is for all the hate. This is for everybody who didn't think out, you know, for that, for like Biggie. Like,
he had the beginning of Juicy in his head.
Of Juicy.
For everyone to call the cops on me when I was hustling to feed my daughter.
Bro, you know? You saw it in him. He really wanted to make a real impression.
I mean, he said it's the most important game he's ever played in his life.
Yeah.
And you got the sense that he showed up for it. I love the way Sergiño Dest played. This entire World Cup, he has owned that wing. I don't care what anyone says. He's going to go back to Milan, a completely different player. The confidence he's shown, the maturity he's shown, the development he's shown. Him and Anthony Robinson have completely stood out. Our midfielders have completely stood out. Tim Ream made put some respect on his own name. 35 years old, that's probably the last international competition he's going to be a part of. And he walked out. He can hold his head high. This game wasn't the greatest I've ever seen him play, but he was asked to do things that aren't his, his bag. So at the end of the day, I think everyone walks out. Pulisic walks away saying, yo, I showed better than what Chelsea's let me play. Weston McKennie showed he's the real deal. Yunus Musa showed he's a star boy. You know, Tim Weah showed he's got something that bigger teams outside of Ligue 1 should probably take a shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Adams walks away absolutely a completely different player than he walked in, as far as he's got a name recognition he did not have when he walked in.
Totally.
Brendan Aaronson has shown that even off the bench that what we're seeing in Leeds is real. Everyone across the board has shown that they came to play. The USA has a different name in the world of football/soccer today than we had before this tournament started.
This is a great, great World Cup. I mean, we mentioned it yesterday. But
on the pitch, again, nothing with what's going on in the country or off the pitch. But this has been a great World Cup in the stadiums.
Right, right. And that's like the you know, especially after missing the World Cup in 2018 to having this World Cup is look, if we did make it in 2018, I with that team that we had, part of me truly feels like we don't even get out of that group stage.
I also don't think we have the development of the youth players that we had coming up in these next 4 years. When it happened, you and I sat there, and my job, or my I tend to be the guy who says, like, all right.
You got a job?
Bro. You know, job.
This is news to me.
this is my job, believe it or not. But my role tends to be, even in life, even in my relationship, even with my friends, I'm the one who's like, okay, bad thing happened. How do we flip this into a positive? You know, okay, there's a body in front of, what do we know? I'm joking. You know, something happened. How do we flip this to a positive? In 2018, I was the exact same way. Okay, we didn't qualify. What could be the silver lining that comes out of this? And I specifically remember saying, at least now we're going to get a shot to see exactly what type of youth players we have. Because nobody wants to see these older players in there. That was it for Michael Bradley. That was it for Jozy Altidore. And look, say what you will about those guys. I tend to like them as players, but that was it for them. They were coming towards the end. We needed to push all our chips in on these young players. Yeah. And the development that's happened over the last 4 years has been anything. Exemplary might not even be the word. It's been absolutely, it's exactly what we wanted. What I wanted to see, the type of players I wanted to see in this tournament, the type of play I wanted to see in this tournament, I saw. Our youth, our inexperience got to us, but think about where we're going to be in 4 years. Christian Pulisic is going to be 27 years old, 28 years old. Weston McKennie is going to be the same. Tyler Adams is going to be, he's 22 right now, Tyler Adams,
23,
right?
I think, yeah.
So he's going to be 27 years old. I mean, we're going to have all of these players that you just saw today in their peak. And where was Brendan Aaronson 4 years ago? Probably still in a crib. You know, he's a young kid. The types of players that we're going to have in 4 years that we don't even know about yet, or we've only started to see little bits and pieces of with the youth national team, they're going to be, I mean, I'm very excited for what 2026 is going to bring.
Yeah, it reminds me of the interview that we did with Matt Doyle in 2017 when you did ask him that question during qualification.
I specifically said, couldn't it be a positive that we didn't qualify for the World Cup?
Yeah, no, but this is before, this was before the Trinidad game, I'm almost sure. So you had asked him, if we don't qualify, would it be a positive in some way that it would force people to change things around U.S. soccer? And he loudly said, like, no, this would be an absolute disaster. But now looking back, and I'm going to try to get that clip because it was a significant moment. But now looking back, the missing out on that World Cup, if we don't miss out on that World Cup, we probably don't get Serginho Dest. We probably don't get Yunus Musa joining the team. Like the effort that was made to really change the look of this U.S. men's national team probably doesn't happen without the effort and risk being taken by Greg Berhalter and a lot of the U.S. soccer kind of, you know, executives and decision makers.
You went a long way to say that. Are you admitting that I was possibly right?
It's not about right.
See what I mean?
It's not
he
right.
He won't let me have it,
it's
folks.
Not right or wrong. It is just simply because it was, if 100 times
right?
out of 100.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Harry.
100 times out of 100, you would say, let's qualify for the World Cup and worry about it later.
I get it. Well, let me just translate what Christian refuses to admit, is that I'm a visionary, okay? And sometimes when I think of something, maybe it's crazy, but all y'all think crazy, I hear... You know what I mean? I hear the cry of an American eagle.
So, look, it's sad, right? But I thought we could beat Netherlands, and seeing how Netherlands played the U.S.,
they thought we could beat Netherlands.
Yes,
100%.
Yeah, they didn't play with some incredible arrogance or anything. They were like,
very conservative.
But you got to give it to Louis van Gaal. He said, hey, there. He even in all the comments, he said, you know, the U.S. are a good team, and I think a lot of people are underestimating them. He said we were one of the better teams in the World Cup, and played us with respect, which is like. You know, you're not.
No, we ain't used to that.
Especially this team, when you are given the message of like, no, they're doubting you. It's called soccer over and over, and that stuff is like good.
That's our chip on our shoulder, bro. That's the juice that gets us to play.
It is helpful, but as soon as the team is like, oh, I see what you guys, y'all are actually pretty good, y'all are ballers, and you're like. Huh? What?
They're like, oh, I see what you do in the midfield, man. You guys are doing a good job. And you're like.
You just give us credit.
It's like, you know what it reminds me of? Andrew Luck. You seen those clips of Andrew Luck, the quarterback for the Colts? He's retired now. But whenever he would be mic'd up, he would get tackled by these linemen. He'd absolutely crushed. And he'd get back up and be like, hey, nice hit, man. I didn't even see that one coming. And players would be like, yo, why is it? I don't want to hit him so hard. Why is he so nice to me?
Yeah. You disarm somebody.
And that's why.
Well, now let's arm somebody. Who do you blame? You know?
Don't be saying arm as an American, bro.
That's a good point, bro. Bro, you know how we do out here. Watch yourselves, Netherlands. You ain't ready. Them bikes ain't going to help you, bro.
All right. Look, I just wanted to. Look. I ain't a huge fan of the Second Amendment. That's what I'm saying.
No, me neither. It's terrible.
People go a little too far. All right.
I meant the pet eagles that we all have, dude. Who do you blame?
Who do I blame?
Is there somebody to blame?
Look,
there has to be somebody to blame, right? So if we have to look, we can't blame the players, right? They played well. They played out. A lot of them were asked to do things that they aren't in their wheelhouse.
Okay.
They played well. It's hard to blame the players. Can you blame Greg Berhalter? Were decisions made in this game that affected the ability to win the game? I don't think so. And I thought he reacted faster than normal.
Right. That second goal forced him to make a real change.
And I gotta say, Gio Reyna, for as much as we cried about him not being in the game, not the most effective when he came in. He had moments, he had spurts where him and Brendan Aaronson linked up really, really well together on the right side. But there were moments where he seemed like he wasn't up to the speed of the game just yet. And maybe that comes from only playing 11 minutes.
I will blame Berhalter, but not specifically for this game. I think the way, even though we got the results that we got, which were not bad, second out of the group, that's what is essentially what people expected. But I would say the third goal that we gave up against Netherlands, you saw Anthony Robinson
just walking around.
Well, just the energy was just completely zapped, I would say
that calls into question our depth, dude. Who would you replace him with?
But so this is so I would so
Aaron Long.
No. I mean, we had Joe Scally was the only other proper left back.
But young.
But
energy.
So my criticism is how the minutes were handled throughout the other three matches. Cause to get to this point and the players at like 70 minutes be completely gassed just says you only have about 3-4 days in between matches. You're asking more physically of the players, and having that stamina and just having that just that mental strength to keep going is really, really challenging. So that's probably my biggest complaint. Like, we probably could have used a couple lineup changes, but I understand the priority is to get out of the group and not really think past that. So I understand that, but that's where in this game is where it caught up to us. We just could not. We had the ball all the time. We had to get our fullbacks forward, and they just got tired, and they couldn't defend anymore.
I'm gonna say, if you can blame Berhalter for something, I'm gonna be a little different than you, and I'm gonna say if you're gonna blame him for anything, it's there was a moment against England where we come out in essentially a 4-4-2, and after a couple of moments and instances, Gareth Southgate yells out, "Guys, 4-4-2." And you saw the England team adjust a little bit, and there was a slight adjustment. It didn't work. We were able to hold them back still, but there was an adjustment. There was not that moment with Greg Berhalter. There wasn't a moment where I saw him say like 4 or anything and cause a difference. We went in with a plan A and maybe a plan B, and that's all we had. And it was completely, not to use the term disarmament again, but we were completely taken out of our game by that. And there was not that other option. And there wasn't anything that Greg Berhalter could do in that moment that created that change. That said, second half, as soon as some players come in, probably, what was that, the 69th minute, maybe 72nd minute, that some changes, all of a sudden, we start to take a little bit more control of that game. Had those changes been made midway through the first half, or at least at the start of the second half, we're maybe talking about a different situation. Maybe we go into that extra time or overtime, and maybe we can get into penalties. But again, you don't see those changes, and to
have the exact same goal scored twice on you, the second one being right at the close of the first half, is a punch you generally do not wake up from. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. So if I'm going to blame Berhalter for something, it's the ability to make that change midway through a game and to make a slight adjustment or call a player over in the middle of the game and say, you need to do X, Y, Z to change this up. I didn't see that. And whether that comes from, maybe that's something that Berhalter now learns and can adjust, or maybe this is, look, Berhalter was the manager we needed to get us here. Is he the guy that gets us to that next level? Is he the guy? Do you want to see him be your head coach of your men's national team start of 2026 World Cup?
It's a good question. My instinct is probably to say no. I think U.S. soccer is in good hands. At least the men's national team is in good hands, and somebody else could probably take that role. I don't know if Greg Berhalter is somebody that would want to do that for two cycles. So my answer is no, but I don't necessarily have a replacement in mind. And I'm not saying no because I think he did a bad job. I think the
only other replacement is Jesse Marsh.
Right. I don't see him leaving unless he, you know, obviously loses a job at Leeds or something like that. I don't see him. I think he wants to be at a club and in the Premier League and 1-2 years of success at the very least. I don't know. This is why I'll give credit to Greg Berhalter. You're right.
I don't have any more water.
The thing is, so the good thing, I would say, I love the way he sort of carried himself throughout this cycle, through ups and downs. We interviewed him. Just a uplifting, positive spirit. A good dude. A likable guy.
Yeah, for sure.
And clearly a lot of the players respect him and respect his decisions. I think he did. He was like, you know, he sort of turned the corner after, you know, missing that World Cup and sort of the older guard of you know, U.S. men's national team coaches. We tried Jurgen Klinsmann. We went back to Bruce Arena. We were trying to figure something out.
Yeah, no, both of those were mistakes. We can look back
now. He brought a very a youthful kind of exuberance.
And but he also settled things down. He was like, everybody relax. These are kids. Let's give them a chance. Yeah. And he was able to get the team to take baby steps forward in the beginning and then really hit their stride without being overbearing like a Jurgen Klinsmann was, which wanted changes immediately. Yeah. And Bruce Arena, I think, was just too much going back to the old way.
Yeah. So
if your manager just says, hey, just get out there, be the first to foul, and take care of your man. If that's it, bro, we ain't doing enough.
Yeah, we can't. Sam Allardyce can't be the manager of the U.S. men's national team.
No, please, God,
we need a little bit more than that.
I'd love to interview him, though, if that's a possibility, please.
So, look, I mean, frustrating but bittersweet. I mean, it's not a terrible World Cup, but it feels like this is a game that we could have done it. It wasn't a mountain too tall to climb. You know, I'm talking about Virgil van Dijk, obviously.
Ain't no mountain.
We could have done it, but it's you know, a lot of people said, Matt Turner said this, Tyler Adams said this after the game. You know, a more experienced team got to them. You know, they were just and that was my biggest frustration throughout really the entire game. Just the missed passes, the poor touches, just the little mistakes that cost the team, that just showed, you know.
I'm not going to get upset about that only because a lot of those passes you're talking about, a lot of them did come from our midfield. But we're talking about missed passes by Anthony Robinson, missed passes by Tim Ream, missed passes by Zimmerman.
The passes, I mean, you understand. You can understand missing some passes. But it was literally the touches themselves. Holding on to the ball too long. Not moving the ball, just like
the lack of quick decision making absolutely cost us at least two goals in this match.
And there's no way that you know, they didn't feel it and notice it. Like, Netherlands was not putting much pressure on them. So what, I mean, I'm not saying, hey, like, I wouldn't be nervous. I'm not saying that. But I'm just like, the composure that they showed in the first three games, I don't know why they didn't have it here. And
moment might have got to them.
Yeah, in my mind, it's usually tiredness. That's where you start seeing mistakes. poor touches, heavy touches, things like that. So you could see, like, in my first thought was like, oh, they don't have the stamina to play in this fourth game. It's too many of the same guys. They're making errors.
Depth is a major issue.
Yeah, and there wasn't because the teams that win their first two group stage matches swap out the a lot of the lineup and put in some backups.
The third game gets to be a relaxed squad, B squad.
So, and look, and the U.S. was not in that position, but they had to play their best players pretty much every game.
Yeah,
and it caught up to us.
In a best case scenario, you don't have Christian Pulisic coming in, just having to recover from getting his dick broke.
So, exactly.
Dude, if he had his whole dick, bro, do you have any idea how good we'd be playing, bro?
The dick break heard around the world.
Yo, oh, man, it must have sounded like, you know.
That's a scream he let out.
And he yelled.
Oh, my God. So, we'll spend more time probably in the future analyzing this a little bit more after more interviews and more conversations with people like Greg Berhalter. But as of right now, I mean, I think the feeling is we had a pretty good World Cup.
So, man, let's end it on this scale of 1 to 10. What do you rate this World Cup for the men's national team?
Okay, I'm like, it's not over. It's a couple, of big matches.
What do you rate the Qataris? No. Scale of 1 to 10.
1 to 10. I'm gonna say a 7.5.
I was gonna say, I'm saying an 8. I'm going with an 8, dude.
I
walk out with my.
We should have won against Wales. Sure. We should have won against Wales.
Doesn't matter though. We qualified out of the group. We did what we had to do against England, which is basically our Super Bowl. We lost against Netherlands, a game we could have won, but we walk out. Players look better. The mentality of what people think, or the perception, I should say, of the U.S. men's national team as far as our ability to play and the types of players we have, we walk away amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully this helped you with your sadness, because Alexis's speech did not help me. Okay.
Bro, just think about this, bro. You don't know where I'm from, dog.
Okay. So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk about the match between Argentina and Australia.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Can you believe that was Messi's first ever knockout round World Cup goal?
I cannot believe it. You would think...
they went to the final, man!
Yeah. You would think that he had scored in a knockout round. But really what stands out when it comes to Argentina in knockout rounds is... big time players missing great opportunities.
I believe you mean everybody else besides Messi missing big opportunities. Bro, what the hell's going on, bro? Higuain, Lautaro Martinez. Does nobody want to help Messi out, bro? He's 39 years old, 43 years old.
Yes, he's 63. Oh, my God. He's going to retire. He's getting Social Security soon.
Yeah, that in Argentina.
But no, congratulations to Argentina winning against Australia, moving on to the quarterfinals.
Australia made it a game, though, at the end there.
They did. It got a little scary.
What do they call it? A squeaky bum time?
Squeaky bum time.
You've never heard that before?
I have not.
Sometimes I wonder if we have the same algorithms.
Squeaky bum time.
Yeah, man. That's what they call when, like, you know, everybody gets a little tight, you know?
I'm just saying. I don't need to get in you and your wife's bedroom. Yeah, I don't need to hear about anything going on.
Christian, go to OnlyFans and type in a squeaky bum. And let's just see what type of creators we can support.
Okay. I think probably the biggest shock here is that Australia did score a goal, but they have kind of been doing that the entire tournament.
I would have said that before the game, but you watched that. There were moments where Argentina's defense was just like, well, let's just see what these Australians could do. Why do we have to be the only ones balling out here?
Yeah, this game didn't have a lot of, It wasn't too physical. It wasn't too intense. It was like
there was little bits of it, but not enough.
No, you know, a game. I remember the final between Argentina and Germany, and it's like those games where Messi's just frustrated. Physically, he's getting, you know, a body put on him.
Right.
This wasn't that. There was a lot of moments, and this is like pretty much any game with Argentina. You know, Messi is not going to. He's not a box to box guy anymore.
Yeah,
okay?
No, he's not the Messi of old.
Okay,
he's not good. He's not just.
He showed it. He had that moment.
Yeah.
Where he was running through a bunch of Australian defenders and didn't finish. But
on the offensive side, yes, you know, yeah, attacking.
But even
yes.
That, he doesn't really do that either. Running through like that classic play from like his first or second year at Barcelona when he ran through 90 players and scored. Yeah. So
17 worth of players. But yes, though. But those moments, you get them in glimpses.
Yeah. So,
and it's not always when you think it's going to happen. It's when the defense is set up in a way where you're like, well, there's no way anyone's going to.
Yeah.
And Messi's the only one who can cut through.
I have 14 nutmegs on the way to a goal.
But there's also that thing of like Messi getting the ball at the top of the box. Every defender is like, we just got to find whatever square inch this ball could travel, we have to cover. And then that leaves Lautaro Martinez open and he skies it.
Yeah. I mean, look.
It's just.
I tweeted,
Lautaro Martinez has to hate Messi. It's the only explanation.
And this is, look, for the most part, we know that these players, you've heard, Emi Martinez talk about Messi and what it means to play for the national team. And it's like, it's not really about playing for Argentina. It's playing for Messi. If they could put Messi on the crest
100%.
And be like, yo, this is who I play for right here, this man.
It's like I love Arsenal, but I sometimes I wonder if I hate Tottenham more. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so I get it. But also, do you want to be the generation that goes out being the ones that couldn't get Messi?
World Cup? That's a huge factor, man. It's frustrating. I can imagine it's... Not frustrating is not the word. There's just so much pressure. There's just so much pressure. I thought Argentina handled it well. They looked composed, and even though Australia has been kind of having these miracle moments, which
Cinderella-esque.
Yeah, and and that goal was an example of that. Of yes. Just like, yo, is this really going to happen?
There was two other times where I was like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I forgot who the player was who kind of cut through everybody, momentum carrying forward.
Yes.
Two players open, but you got to take it yourself, buddy. Right?
No, it was a great opportunity.
And then that last play where the ball gets complete and, Emi Martinez's save on that shot.
That was huge.
It literally hits him on the lower part of the arm.
Lisandro Martinez's save to stop that run with the Australian player bringing the ball in.
It makes you wonder why Lisandro Martinez isn't starting, or at least in this game he didn't.
Even Argentina, they're like, yo, he's not tall enough.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that one dude in Australia. They just went out and got the basketball center and were like, you ever kick a ball before? No. Good. Neither have the rest of the players.
They put him in early in the second half because Australia was pressing and they needed a better passer to handle that pressure.
Right.
The second Australia goal, they have to be, Matty Ryan, goalkeeper for Australia, taking that heavy touch.
Second Argentina goal.
Sorry, the second goal that Australia gave up.
Yeah.
But to lose the ball in front of you like that, it's just, has to crush you, man. That's
you
like,
don't need to give them opportunity. Can't. You know what I mean?
Messi's good enough,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't have to help him.
So it hurts
bro.
More that they, they lost by one goal, which is that goal by Julian Alvarez. So, not necessarily a shock. The result, this is pretty much what I think everyone expected. But the just brilliant performances. And Messi, again, he had he could have had 2-3 more goals. But the goal that he did score, you just have to you saw the crowd literally bowing to him, whenever he had, incredible chances and when he scored that goal.
You also saw every one of his players trying to pass him the ball and be like, you do something.
Yeah.
You're Messi, bro. We don't want to take the spotlight away from you. And you could see him being like, no, please try.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like I'm doing everything here.
That's the thing that is like, after watching after watching the U.S. game and then watching this, you obviously see the difference in quality, just a tad.
A little bit.
But there's just something about Messi's, obviously his vision, but there's something about the weight of his passes that land. It's like he passes you a regular soccer ball and then you receive a futsal. Do you know what I mean? Like there's something that it gets out of his foot, off his foot so fast, but gets to you it with like just the perfect weight that you, it's not going to bounce everywhere. So he knows exactly. We're watching the U.S. game and misplaced passes and bad touches and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, y'all, are they using the same equipment? Yeah, like, what is going on?
He must have it. Does he have a string attached to that ball? But also what I love about it is you ever see those like, you ever go golfing? And you ever see golf where the ball just like, just gently rolls to the edge of the hole and then just drops in lightly.
Yes,
that's every pass Messi makes.
Yeah,
it's just exactly where you need it to be. So much so that whenever there's a mispass, it's the person didn't continue their run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's never his fault.
It doesn't feel like it's ever his fault.
It's absolutely brilliant.
But did you get the sense that maybe, I don't know, man, this feels like this World Cup isn't going to be, the World Cup final is not going to have Messi's name attached to it. To let Australia back into the game the way they did, I don't know, man. It feels like they need to find another gear, another level.
Maybe, but I would argue that there's nobody in the World Cup so far that has just had no blemishes and have just looked sharp from beginning to end. I guess France.
France and maybe Brazil.
But even France lost their game, right? They lost their
B squad. I mean,
it's on your record.
Don't matter.
It's on your record.
It don't matter. A squad, they kept their A squads healthy. Them in Brazil.
No, Argentina lost their first game to Saudi Arabia. But with their A squad. Won their last two, though.
With their A squad.
I'm just saying.
That's ridiculous.
Nah.
You know the difference.
I'm just saying that this, because all these big teams that traditionally make it through have not, no Germany, no Denmark, just like big teams that we're used to seeing that.
Denmark, I wouldn't say.
No, I'm just saying, but yeah. Again, you expect them to go through.
Not really.
This
Belgium, maybe.
Belgium, yeah. But you feel like this is an opportunity for Argentina. And not just speaking of Messi in particular, because I imagine if Argentina get to the final, whoever they play are going to be like, you know what? We're going to have to mark this guy a little bit extra.
Okay. Yeah.
So you don't like
which is why you need guys like Lautaro Martinez to hit those wide open nets.
Which is why he hasn't started the last two games.
Yeah, man. I mean, they just can't find a confident, consistent striker.
I mean, they have a couple. I mean, you're saying it's not to the degree of like Greg Berhalter alternating with these three strikers and can't figure out what to do.
No.
They're pretty good. No, but Lautaro did score. He has scored already.
You're talking about Josh Sargent, Jesus Ferreira, and Haji Wright, and not one of them received the pass.
Did Lautaro get a goal or was it taken back? I don't remember if he's got actually been credited with a goal.
What I was saying is none of those three Americans have ever received a pass from Messi. Okay. And if you do, and all of a sudden there's no one in front of goal.
You're being a little clueless to the striker situation. They have a couple pretty good strikers.
You got to score.
So the other thing I wanted to make sure we got to, because now that we've had some time, we've seen a few comments after the U.S. men's national team lost to Netherlands. There was some comments by the manager for the Dutch, Louis van Gaal. He had a pretty, I don't know if it's harsh quote, but
I wouldn't say harsh.
Just
I think it was
spitting facts.
Straight truth.
He just said
same thing we said at the beginning of the show.
He said the U.S. men's national team was not able to adjust and adapt to the game.
Yeah, he said we took out the wings and we focused on the wings and they did nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's just telling the truth. I'm not gonna lie, it hurts a little bit, Louis. Yeah.
Also, dead on, bro.
I mean, you right.
Try not to analyze it so well, bro.
You right, bro. You don't gotta be that right.
Inside voice, Louis Van Gaal.
There was that, and then there was the president of the Netherlands responding to a tweet from President Biden. I don't know if they're going back and forth. some subtweets between.
You throwing shade at Biden, bro.
But this was the. Do we need to hear it?
No.
We don't need to read. Anyway, but Tyler Adams is kicking the ball to
off camera. And then it lands in President Biden's hands.
Right. And then Joe's like saying it's called soccer and he's rooting on the boys. Go USA. And then right there, Mark Rutte. I guess he's the prime minister.
Sure.
I don't know what
he said. Sorry, Joe, football won.
But let's see. Who is this? Minister President Van Nederland. I'm not
sure. Now all of a sudden you speak Dutch.
I'm gonna learn so I can clap back at this fool.
Get
bro.
That last word. Redacted door de Riks.
I don't know.
Dienst.
Bro, we can't start. It's a tongue twister. It's a difficult language.
Yeah, he said, sorry, Joe, football won.
All right, bro. You need to don't let me catch you in these streets, Mark.
Bro, why would you just Canelo?
Okay, bro. I'm going to call it soccer to your face.
You're going
to
catch these hands in Blugen, you know what I mean?
Mark. All right. All right, bro.
My name is Mark, bro.
Okay. We're not rocking with Mark today.
What's Joe Biden's middle name is something crazy, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Look that up. Joe Biden's middle name. Harry.
What is Joe Biden's name? I don't know.
It's crazy.
Oh, it is crazy.
What is it?
Robinette.
Bro. Joseph.
Dutch. I'll be honest.
I think it's an inside job, bro. Joseph Robinette. Biden.
Robinette. It sounds like a piece of furniture.
Yeah. No, dude. It sounds like an old bakery in an old train cut down, you know.
But no, good to see this. You know, I mean, if Trump was president, I don't know what the hell would be going with these
good
tweets.
God. Thank God he's not.
You know, it's just nice and innocent stuff. I don't want it to cause a stir.
This is cute.
It's cute.
Sorry, Joe. He even apologized.
Look at that.
Also, Mr. Biden, have some respect.
President Biden.
Yeah. Sorry, Prez.
So that's it, man.
What is it? It's Netherlands versus Argentina. Yeah,
let's take a look at the
the World Cup bracket. Yeah, Netherlands play Argentina on December 9th. Obviously, gonna be tough for the Netherlands.
Tomorrow.
England plays Senegal and France plays Poland.
Yeah, so that's going to be a couple of big games.
So Senegal versus France on December 10th.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You don't know? You're not going to give any facts besides? I don't know, man. Just high pitched. I don't know.
You never know. You never know.
You think Poland can win?
I mean, look.
You're talking about England, obviously.
We'll see. We'll see. All I'm just saying is that now that the U.S. is out, I want England to fail miserably.
Say, of course. I was just about to say, who are you rooting for? I had an English person message me and said, who are you rooting for now? And I said, I don't know. I guess I want to see Messi win. I don't really care about Argentina like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I did pick France early on, so maybe France. And they wrote back, not the answer I was looking for. Oh, you think all of a sudden I'm going to turn? I'm going to Benedict Arnold all of a sudden?
Nah, bro. Never.
Never, bro.
Okay.
My only regret is that I have but one life to live for this nation, bro.
Okay. My only regret is I only have one life to live to hate on England.
Uh-huh.
If I could have multiple opportunities, multiple lifetimes to hate on this specific country.
I'd love to come back, bro. Bro,
come back as a ghost hater. Let's
Or come back as seasoning, bro. You know you don't know what to do with it. Never even touch your shores, dog.
We take a look at the bracket real quick.
We kind of just went over it.
What do we got? The table? Where's the bracket?
Playoffs.
Like you said, December 9th, Netherlands, Argentina. The first one is in the books. So,
I'm glad we opened this page.
Let's go, bro. People need to visualize it.
Yeah, man.
So, all right, we'll be back tomorrow. You know, we'll get over our sorrows, adjust to the fact that the U.S. is no longer in the World Cup, but A lot to be proud of. Really, really proud of these guys, man. I mean, look, and the last I think we should finish here is just like this cycle from when the U.S. missed the World Cup. I mean, we've interviewed players that played in that game in Trinidad. We interviewed like Matt Beasler, Dax McCarty, mm-hmm. DeAndre Yedlin, a lot of folks.
You hear the names. We've come a long way.
We've come a long way, but the I don't know. There's this emotional connection to this men's national team that we didn't have 4 years ago.
That no, not
is,
at all.
Is we've had Walker Zimmerman on the show. We spoke Jesus Ferreira, all these guys. We've connected with them, and you see how much it means to them to be a part of this team, to get this far into the World Cup. We saw all the images of Sean Johnson, DeAndre Yedlin, Kellen Acosta, all these guys like on the pitch, like consuming the moment and taking in the moment for as long as possible. Because
did you actually see what Tim Ream said?
No, I didn't.
I'll see if I have a chance to pull it up. If this didn't, I refreshed. I hate Instagram. You close it for 1 second, it refreshes. Basically, it was saying like, you know, Tim Ream was letting the guys know, kind of spoke to some of the players because he's obviously a lot older than everyone else. And he specifically said, like, take in the moment. Don't forget this. Like, yes, a lot of you guys are guaranteed another World Cup. Some of you guys will definitely be on the team because we're hosting it, so you're guaranteed to be on them. He goes, but this is my last one. You know, and he goes, you're never guaranteed anything. I was in the program for 12 years. You're never guaranteed anything. There's you could be a part of the program and not even get a chance to play in the World Cup like what happened to me. So take in every moment, look around, try to learn lessons from it. It was just a beautiful moment to see like someone who's 35 years old looking around and saying, this was, I got to do the thing I've wanted to do, but this is probably my last run. I think we would all agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And to sort of share that information with the younger players. And that's why I think as sad as I was that we lost today, I'm looking forward towards the next cycle, and I'm thinking how much more prepared we're going to be and how better off we're going to be because of what happened here. And right. Hopefully this inspires a lot more kids to care about the sport. We've already gotten some text messages like, you know, Lil Frex, shouts to Lil Frex, who's on a league of their own. She's like, never cared about soccer. Now I love it. This World Cup has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So these little things, these little moments, they keep building, they keep building, they keep building. And what happens is, you saw Landon Donovan score against Algeria, and here we are, you know, and I saw soccer as a kid, and here we are. And hopefully there's someone that, was watching this run up and got involved and got inspired by what happened against England and got inspired by what happened to Iran. And hopefully some of the players take that as well with them. And it just continues to develop into a better situation in 2026. So, yeah, I'm upset that the U.S. lost, but I'm very hopeful as to what happens in the next 4 years.
Yeah, I like given that Christian Pulisic had to deal with the sadness and of not being able to qualify for the last World Cup, it was nice to see his comments after the game, because he was really talking about what playing on the team means. Matt Turner said this as well. Focusing on inspiring that next generation. And these guys are young. They're young guys. They're all, between 20, 25, the majority of them.
It's like when seniors talk about being like,
seniors
in high school, like, oh, I've been through the whole thing. You know, it's like, you ain't 95 years old, bro. You ain't retiring from the factory.
But that's how short of a window you have to inspire that next generation.
Yeah.
You have maybe, you're lucky if you get a third World Cup. Even if you're a top-tier player, lucky if you get a third
World Cup. Look at most of these players 4 years ago. There's only a handful of these players that were even considered for the men's national team back then.
Yeah.
You know, Brendan Aaronson was a child. You know what I mean? You don't know who's going to be here in 4 years. You don't know who you can inspire.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
So
Matt Turner wanted to be an investment banker, bro.
Okay. He had the chin strap, beard, bro. It wasn't.
Bro.
The glow up is unbelievable for Matt Turner.
Someone taught that man to get a fade.
So, we're all processing it all, but it's nice to see a lot of the stuff, a lot of the comments from the players, and even for us, for Alexis and I, it's all a journey, you know, like just U.S. soccer, men's national team, women's national team. There's a lot of emotion attached to it, a lot of experiences that this game and this federation gives us, and sometimes they're very positive, sometimes they're very negative. Yeah. But you know, we're all a family. You know, it's times like these I think about. You know, even like Daryl Grove of you know, RIP. But he loved the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah.
This British man knew more about the U.S.
How about every Everton fan we've spoke to from Liverpool could care less about the English national team. Loves the U.S.
Yeah, dude. So it's those are the things I really think about, because it's a it is a 4-year roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And then you know, the drop is pretty hard.
Bro, 4 years ago. 4 years ago, we thought we would be completely out of a show because the U.S. didn't qualify. We're sitting in our own studio. We've got a guy named Harry hostage. It's a pretty. I think we've leveled up.
It's all gone to plan.
This is what we wrote down day one of Cooligans.
We said we need to kidnap a producer.
It's the only way we're going to afford one. We're part of the Metal Arc Network. We exclusively drink Miller Lite. It's pretty great.
Look, we're still very, very proud of the accomplishment of the U.S. Men's National Team. So, All right. The show must go on.
I do want to end on Christian Pulisic's words that he said. He was very cool. He said, this show is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
I look really inspired. Speaking of inspiring the next generation, that's the way to do it, Christian Pulisic. Thank you so much. All right. We will be back tomorrow. Obviously, England against, who are they playing? Senegal.
Yep.
And then France, Poland. So we'll be back covering that. Daily episodes of the World Cup. You love to see it. The Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Let's go. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.